This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Tass and Tennille. I've been told that I've got to put my name first. So we're in the middle of a mayoral election.
It's a race.
City Council. It's a race. And what we're doing is that we're giving candidates some equal time to have a conversation with us. And we're, for fairness, we're asking a series of consistent questions so that, you know, everybody gets the same question. So we're now about to have a conversation with Councillor Ken Ong.
Good former councillor.
Former. You're not a councillor at the moment?
No, I'd finished 8 years back in October 2016.
I thought that was the case.
So you've missed it. You've missed your time in the town hall.
Yes, in some ways, because it is such a great place to work with.
Yeah, okay.
Great team of people, professionals, and the engagement with the people out there. I think that's what it's all about.
So why do you want to be mayor? It's a different role to being a councillor. Oh,
first of all, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, listeners. When I finished, back in 2015, my wife got very sick with brain cancer.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And then she passed away. So I thought it was time to take a bit of a break from everything, get the family matters in order. My children, one was still studying, one's just working, started to work. So I thought it was a good time to maybe take a break from everything. But I've never really separate myself from what council was doing. I managed to get a successor to fill in, which is Councillor Philip Liu. And I hear that he's doing a great job. Mm. You know, as a young councillor, it's always great to get new blood into the council.
Yes.
And when the events that started to evolve last year before Christmas regarding Lord Mayor Robert Doyle, and people asked me, "What would you be interested to come back if something goes off the rails?" I said, "Look, I'll think about it. I'm quite happy having a bit of private life, focus on my business and family and friends. And actually, I've been travelling quite a bit back to Malaysia to visit my 95-year-old mother, who, you know, always happy to see me.
Of course.
I live here and she's there. But when things started to evolve a little bit more back in February, and I said, I'll have to seriously think about what next. Many people asked me, and I said, maybe not, maybe yes, I'll think about it. And then I started to see the various parties appearing who wants to become Lord Mayor. And listening to some of the comments and the interviews, and I said, some people wanting this job don't quite understand what it's all about.
Mm.
It's not about coming in to become the Lord Mayor with a big title, and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix that, because the reality is this is such a great city, and successive council and councillors over the years have put in a lot of effort to make this city one of the best in the world.
So what are your top three priorities?
I always look at it that Melbourne's the city for people first, because a city with it's not a city about buildings, it's not a city about certain interest groups, businesses or tourists or anything. It's about everyone. So it has to be focused about people. And if I look at it, the first priority is, what do people do in the city? They come here to work, they come here to study, they walk around, they live in the city, but eventually they get out onto the streets. The people who come into the city, 500,000 come through on public transport, trains, trams, buses. And what do? They got to get out of the public transport and walk around the city. So the biggest thing that I've seen over the years in council is that the city's become really busy.
Mm.
So our street infrastructure, to me, is actually the top priority. people live in tall buildings. Yes, design of them has not been the best in the past because the rules allowed that to happen. And council over the years, together with state government, have been slowly improving through built form review, apartment designs. And some areas we've put in mandatory height controls. In other areas, there aren't. And historically, the city's planning system, in many parts, has not been reviewed since 2001. I mean, that's 17 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
So one of the things that happened when I took over as chair of planning back in 2010 was to start reviewing all these planning schemes, the heritage protections, City North structure plans, West Melbourne structure plans, and try to put some sort of clear controls in place. If you don't have those planning rules in place, it's a pitch battle on every application. And we saw that in the previous years.
So you've given us two, people, planning.
People and planning. And the third most important thing I see is infrastructure.
Yep.
Now, infrastructure means services for the people. Infrastructure is about amenities, whether it's parks, whether it's libraries, whether it's sporting facilities. I think we need to focus on providing more of those in a much more dense city.
Okay. Mm-hmm. People, planning, infrastructure.
Yep.
Okay. That's good. PPI.
PPI. Now, how would a council led by you be different, given that there has been a bit of a rocky time there?
And until what's happened, and there has been challenges over the past, council in the city of Melbourne, a capital city, is a little bit different from council in suburban cities, where they all focus on their individual wards. Mm. Here, we have no wards. The city of Melbourne councillors have to work across the entire city. And each part of the city is slightly different, whether it's South Yarra, Kensington, North Melbourne, Docklands, South Bank, the central city, the businesses have a strong voice. But then we also know that it is an education city. So we need to consider that we have 50,000 students here in the city.
Yeah.
So the council, if I come in, back into council, it's just try to pull everyone together and say, you have a strategic plan in place. The council has a budget that's coming out in May. My role coming back in is I'm not going to change any of that. It's got to keep moving. We've got progress that needs to continue. We need to look at improvement programs that are already in place that needs to be completed. There will always be new emerging problems, emerging issues in the city, and we need to address those as they arise.
Of course. Okay. Right. Of course.
Yep. So I'm not going to come in with a sledgehammer.
Yep. So, being an LGBTI radio station, it'd be remiss for us not to ask this question. Should you win the election, what can our community expect from you? What will a council led by you, Ken, deliver for LGBTI people, their families and their communities?
Let's put it this way. The city consists of many different communities, and that is one of the many communities that the city has to include. We have to be very inclusive, we have to be respectful, and we have to be fair. I think one thing I've learned in 8 years of Melbourne City Council is that there are constant requests from many, many communities out there to do this. And I think Councillor Leppard said before, we can't promise to do everything. Firstly, limited by resources and budgets. And the other thing is, what is the priority for the city from that perspective of fairness and respectfulness? I think for any community, we will treat them equally based on the needs.
Okay.
I think that's the important point to say. And within council, it's also important that councillors, if I come in as Lord Mayor, needs to show respect with each other, towards each other, and need to cooperate with each other. I think teamwork is so important.
Yep, absolutely. So as Joy's landlord, in the event that you win, you'd actually be Joy's landlord.
Yes.
And we've got a fantastic facility here. What commitments could you make to us?
I understand you are moving.
Well, we've been told that at some point we have to move out of here because we're getting kicked out.
Look, we've had this discussion in council for the last 8 years when I was there. I always believed that this facility is a prime facility. There are so many forces within council who want to grab, have their fingers on this. And there are parts of administration who says, gee, this is one of our buildings within the precinct. Why aren't we using it? And I think that's one line of thinking. My line of thinking is this has been given to the community for use for so many years. And different tenants have moved in and out. It shouldn't be purely driven by economics, the use of this building. I mean, this is a great heritage building. And I've had plenty of meetings in this building all through the years. I think we should leave it and keep it for the community. That's my view. Because it's impossible to get a commercial building in the city that's affordable.
Of course.
Yes.
So, Ken, you've completed your first term as mayor. What would you like your legacy to be? How would you like to be remembered?
It could be, if I do get elected, it might be my first term as mayor. It could also be my last term. Because
that's right.
The reason I've come back is seeing the issues that needs to be done from a perspective of what's happening in council. It pains me to see that. The legacy, I don't see as a legacy of my role as Lord Mayor. I see as a legacy of the role that councillors and the leadership and administration have played over a number of years to keep Melbourne one of the world's greatest cities. I think that's the important part now. It's not about specific things, but generally, and people who live here and come here to visit and do business here and say, gee, I was in Melbourne and that was great. I think that's all I want to know.
Fantastic. Aww. So what's your final message to our listeners this morning?
My message is I have the experience in council. I have experience in a professional world. I've experience in running businesses. I've spent 30 years doing volunteer work for community groups, which resulted in being awarded an Order of Australia back in 2016. But don't vote for me because of just what I've done. Vote for me if you believe that I have the abilities to continue the great work of this city. And there are a lot of great candidates and there are others who shouldn't be running. That's all I'm saying.
Councillor King on.
Former councillor,
and mayoral candidate. Best wishes. Good luck with the race ahead of you.
Thanks, Tash.
And thank you for taking the time to come into the studio this morning and engage with our listeners.
It's a pleasure. You know, I'm always nervous facing these microphones, but I'm never nervous when I'm up there meeting the people.
We've never seen a microphone bite someone, so it's okay.
Thanks, Neil. Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.